Hi, I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, did you miss us last week? Well, we're back, and with a fabulous guest, one of our best buddies here on eWabs, Dave Quivassier, and he's going to talk about his new book. Join us for that.
That's right, and you want to be in the chat room so you can ask him questions. We'll also have a video I'm going to feature from Whittam's World series about microphones, where you get to hear a comparison of some expensive and less expensive mics, and you can see how they all kind of compare and what might work best for you and your budget.
And we'll be answering your questions that you've been sending into our website at ewabshop@gmail.com. Lots of great questions, lots of great answers. So join us, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
Join us in the chat room. East West Audio Body Shop. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East.
And I'm George Whittam, always in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. In perfect sync.
I know. We can do it in sync because we're here together.
That's right.
How you doing?
Nice to see you. I am in beautiful Southern California. And I've been here all week and going to be here for another week. And just checking things out and making things happen and meeting with all sorts of fun people and having lunch and being very Hollywood.
Yeah, getting that Hollywood feeling, seeing what it feels like to be here.
Yeah.
2 weeks gives you a bit of a feeling of what it's like to maybe live here for a while.
Maybe. And my son's taking a workshop at a digital media class. And
that's awesome.
And I'm checking out the neighborhoods and seeing what Southern California is all about. And I have shingles.
Yay!
just to make it just a little bit more interesting.
Whoopee.
Oh man. A little Valtrex, a little bit of ibuprofen.
But he's still here, gang.
And I'm still here.
He's a champ.
Right.
He's
learning how to drive in Southern California. I was gonna drop by I had some appointments, I went over to Voicecasters and stuff. I'm driving down Burbank Boulevard and I passed the legendary Mark Grau Studios. And the thing I've learned about Southern California is apparently you're not allowed to park here. That's why there's so many cars on the highway, because there's no parking spaces.
Especially in my neighborhood.
Right.
Man.
If you have a meeting or something, you just have to keep driving around the block and then
and you
yell at somebody as you're meeting them. You know, you keep going.
Let's
around
just
the
do
block.
A phone conference.
That's right.
I'll be in the car. Yeah.
So I go into Mark's studio, the legendary Mark Grau Studios, and give him my demo but he's not there. The reception, he won't be here till 1:00. He's and then he's got a session at 1:00. I'm like, okay, well, he knows who I am. Here's my demo. I want to talk to him. And actually, the only reason that I pulled in here, it was by accident, because it was the only parking space in Southern California. Just happened to be in front of his studio.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Yeah. And the receptionist was like,
yeah, flat line.
Yeah. It was like, but Mark, to his credit, did call me.
Yeah. That's
it's
pretty
like
cool.
Driving, and he was very nice about it. He's offered to let us do the show there from the legendary Mark Grau Studios.
Well, we should, because he hasn't been on the show in a long time.
That's
and I think
true.
It'd be awesome to get a tour of the place and
I think it would
do
be.
It from there.
It would be fun. So, cool. I'm going to be here for another week, and then we're going to be down. And then I have to go home for 10 days and then flip it around, come back on the other side of the continent again for Voice 2014.
Man.
Which should be a lot of fun.
So yeah, it's going to be a good time.
My body clock will be completely thrown out of whack. But we should be, if you haven't registered for Voice 2014, you should. It's going to be a lot of fun. George and I are going to do a broadcast from there, and we're going to, I have a workshop on acoustics, and it should be just lots of fun. you know. Yeah. Even if you just come for, you know, for the garden party on Friday.
For the socializing.
Yeah, because that's why I go.
Yeah.
I mean, I learn stuff, but people learn stuff from us, too, which is...
makes me fun. Give back.
Give back, that's right. Yeah.
So should we start off with a few audience questions?
Yeah, we've been getting them. Now, if you have a question, remember, this is what the show is about. It's about...
It's how it started.
It's how we started it. And we want your questions of any problems or issues you have with recording software or the acoustics in your studio or what microphone to use, which we'll talk about later. And other stuff that is completely irrelevant to voiceover. But, you know, feel free to send them in to ewebshop@gmail.com and we'll answer them. Yeah. So let's go with question number one here, which was...
We'll blow this up for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, because I can't really see that well from over here. I mean, it's, you know, that's almost in Sherman Oaks. Okay.
Garrick, from Garrick Young.
Garrick Young says, I'm using Audacity after recording. What steps do I take? One YouTube video says to normalize, then compress and equalize, then hard limiter and finish with normalize again. When I do all these, I sound loud and muffled. Which way do I go? Well, you know, my favorite expression is, if you don't know what something does, you probably don't need it.
or don't use it if you don't know how to get someone to help you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the devil's in the details with this stuff. I mean, we just had I triggered a huge conversation. This is timely.
Yeah.
I triggered this long discussion thread on the Facebook audiobook group in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Because I put a post on there about how do you master audiobooks with Audacity? Like, there are certain things I just can't do with Audacity. I can't measure RMS easily. I can't monitor my compressor while I'm adjusting it. Things like that. Like, in Audacity, if you want to tweak things and save it as a preset later, it's a pain to do it. Anyway, it's triggered this huge thread.
Yeah, everybody's an expert.
Well, yeah, but I mean... one of the people that spoke up in the thread because he's big in Audacity is David H. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I have everybody using Levelator. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, these tools, like you're describing, all these tools can really help your audio or they can really make mush out of it, which is kind of what you're running into.
Right.
And it's probably because the settings that you're using are not tuned correctly for your voice.
Or you're using the presets that are there and not really understanding what they do.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're applying one after another, and it makes it really hard to figure out what each one of these things is doing. So if you really do want to learn and understand what these different tools are doing, well, first of all, use them separately. Use each piece one at a time. Experiment with the settings, record and play back, and listen to the results. Got to use your ears here. So you have to understand what each piece is doing. Now, you know, granted, Dan and I have been doing this a long time, and that's years of engineering chops.
Years and years.
Understand this stuff, yeah. So there's stuff like Levelator. Have you ever heard of Levelator? Have you ever played with Levelator? Do you know what it is?
I have no reason.
I haven't had a need to either, exactly. It's one of those things I loaded one time, said, that was kind of interesting, and then I never used it again.
Gone,
but yeah. Levelator is like a one-stop, drop your audio. It's literally a drag and drop tool. You drag the audio in and it spits out a new file that has been levelated.
Yeah. Yeah. More space on your hard drive.
I have no idea what it's doing. I mean, I brought up Dave because Dave mentioned, he's like, I just have David. He brought it up because I have people use that. And a lot of people were like, oh, I get really unpredictable results. I get a lot of pumping, or like the noise floor gets really loud, all the stuff, right? So the problem is that all these tools, no matter how simplified or smart they are, they still need to be set up or tweaked by someone that really knows what they're doing. So you can get by with Audacity, but getting the settings to get the results you're looking for, that's the engineering.
Yeah.
You know, that's engineering chops.
Right. And you don't learn this stuff overnight. And it's not like, I'll just use these presets and it'll be fine. You've got to know what to listen for. Yeah, having it described to you and given parameters and stuff like that, it's just not going to cut the mustard with it. You've got to understand what it is. And I find a lot of people getting into the business, especially doing audiobooks, which is probably why it created such a stir in the forum.
Definitely. ACX, where you have to self-produce everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I find it strange that they want people to be doing this on their own when 95% of them don't know the difference between a VU meter and a gas meter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's got to understand.
It's a lot to ask.
You've got
to
understand some basic things, which, of course, we're more than happy to teach you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what steps do you take? I mean, there's the process you're describing sounds like my process. I do normalize. Then I do a high-pass filter. And then I compress and downward expand and then equalize. And then I normalize or limiter and normalize. That's basically the order that I do the things. It's just how much of each of these you're using and to what effect.
Right. And there are better programs than Audacity for doing this.
I think so.
I think, and that's the other issue, is that if someone says, well, how do I do this in Audacity? You go online and you buy something like Adobe Audition instead of using Audacity, which is incredibly limited in what it can do. There aren't very good presets. Whereas if you're on a PC, something like SoundForge or Audition, or if you're on a Mac, Audition or Twisted Wave, there are much better presets in there.
There's better presets and there's just better tools, like the more processing
more
tools.
Flexibility.
And they allow for the ability to save presets. They make it very easy to share settings among other people. Like Dan and I can, one thing I do a lot is make a stack, I call it, where I can preset things for your voice and then send you the settings.
Right.
Super easy to do with Twisted Wave and Audition.
Yeah.
Not as easy with Audition, but really easy with Twisted Wave. But that brings up another subject. Twisted Wave, there's an update. 1.12. And it's added the ability to install stacks by just double-clicking on the stack file.
Yeah, because to install a stack, you have to like click on Manage Files and then move the interface away and find the missing window.
Yeah, it was a little process that, I had a YouTube video on how to do it. That's how convoluted it was.
Yeah.
Now you just say double-click and it installs the stack. It's beautiful. Yeah. But, it's really Audacity you can get by with it. But it's kind of like Audacity is your first bicycle. I like bicycles.
You see how many bicycles. Yeah, there's
bikes everywhere.
There, yeah.
I love bicycles. It's like your first bike, and it can get you around town, and it'll get you the job done. But then when you ride a better bike that's designed for touring or triathlon racing or whatever it is, the specialty you're doing, and then you try that tool and go, oh my gosh, when it's the right bike for the right job, I can ride faster or I'm not as sore or... It's like that with audio tools. You know, any one of these tools can probably get you to the finish line. But how easy, how painful is it, you know, and how quickly can you do it? That's the difference, right?
Yeah. Chris, my son Jacob has been riding his bike all summer and was having a lot of trouble getting across the street sometimes. And we're like, we'll try shifting gears. He's like, what?
Yeah.
You can shift gears on this thing.
We live in a hilly area. I watch people ride up that big hill
in
high gear and they're standing up and cranking. I'm just like, just shift.
Take it down to one.
I take it for granted, you know.
I mean, I see them doing the Tour de France.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
That's a good question, though, Garrick. We'd love to kind of help you nuance that for you.
Yeah. Just stop using Audacity. I mean, if you don't want to invest... Yeah, you start with Audacity. But if you're starting to get work,
if you're going to stick with Audacity, prepare to get your hands dirty. There are a lot of tools. They're called Nyquist things, and you can go in and download them. It's geeky to an nth degree. It's like using Linux because it's free. You know, there's a lot of people that are pro Linux or Linux, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
But just because it's free doesn't mean it's the right tool to use. You know, I'm frugal as the day is long. Trust me, but it's not always the right tool. David M. Gibson, should we go on?
Yeah, let's go on.
David M. Gibson?
I think we buried that one for the time being.
David M. Gibson has a question about Audio TX. He loves the wealth of knowledge from the show. Thanks. I think I need to apply to your frequent flyer program. We need to make one.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about ISDN alternatives like Source Connect Now, and IPDTL.
There
always will be. But I hear almost nothing about Audio TX as an alternative. Is it simply that the technology wave has moved towards Source Connect Now and IPDTL as cheaper yet still reliable alternatives, making Audio TX an outsider looking in? Kind of like the way it appears for the regular Source Connect. Kind of like the way it appears. Okay. So, I've installed every one of these things. I've tried them all. I've used them all. Audio TX... It's really its biggest issue at this stage of the game, I think, is price, because it's one of the more expensive ones.
Yep.
And It's either tied to a proprietary USB key. It's called a hasp that you have to have.
Right.
If you lose that hasp, you are out of luck, buddy. At least with Source Connect, if you have an iLock, they will replace the license. There's a license replacement program.
Yep.
But if you lose it, it's gone. So that's one thing. Two, Windows only.
Right.
It's Windows only. It's probably always going to be Windows only. So that's pretty much, you know, a deal breaker for a lot of voiceover people.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things. I mean, otherwise it works. I mean, it has
worked. Exactly.
Well, for IP.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing about Audio TX. It has an internet side and an ISDN side.
Right.
And you can talk about, because you've tried it for ISDN, right?
A long time ago.
So, yeah. I mean, I've never really tried to make it work for the ISDN side because it's complicated.
Yeah.
It takes this box and that box. In fact, I have the actual boxes you need. Hang on a second.
Oh, I still have mine, too.
This looks so funny. They're within arm's reach. So... If you're going to use ISDN Audio TX, you have to have an NT1 box.
Oh, yes. I had one. I still have one of
this
those.
This thing here.
If anybody wants one.
All right. You got to have one of these. And then you have to have an ISDN modem.
Yep.
This is a USB one. It is still, well, it's taped up in the box. I've never even opened it.
Yeah, and the tape is getting dirty, so it gives you an idea how old that is.
Yeah, this thing's pretty ancient.
Yeah.
Anyway, these are two of the parts you need to make it work. I mean, did you ever have success making Audio TX work on ISDN?
Never.
Yeah.
I had the ISDN line installed, and I remember trying testing it with sunspots, and they could never get both sides working.
One of you would hear, but the other one wouldn't, or you wouldn't.
That's right.
Frame or
right.
A lock or
right.
Whatever.
And so I just sort of soured on the entire idea of ISDN.
Right.
And so I offered it. I can't remember.
Because, you know, 10 years ago, an ISDN codec even used was 2000,
right?
At least
this thing was a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper.
You know, I mean, they sent you software, but you still had to have the ISDN line, and you had to have all these adapters, which I had, which were not cheap.
Yep.
And of course now they are because they're just sitting in my basement.
Right.
But I tried. I said, "Oh, I just might as well just get rid of this." So I offered it in a forum, and Bob Sauer contacts me, says, "I'll take it."
No kidding.
And I sold it to him. He got it cheap. Apparently, some 6-7 years later, he's still using it
to this day
and making a heck of a lot more money with it than I ever did.
Well, that's good.
But at least that's how I got to meet Bob Sauer.
I love it.
We've been friends ever since.
I love
how
equipment can bring people together.
That Audio TX did. But I was not a big fan of Audio TX. And also because right after that, I got away from the PC world and bought a Mac, and we all know how I feel about Macs. So
yeah, I think if Audio TX had a Mac version a long time ago, it would be a different world.
Probably a different world,
but he just didn't want to cross that line. It was probably too expensive for him to do it.
Yeah, and so while ISDN is dying its slow death, I don't see why that would be a good alternative for anybody.
No, well, another reason is if you really want ISDN, you can buy used ISDN codecs.
They're probably going to get really cheap now. Yeah.
Every week, someone's like, "Do you know somebody that needs a Zephyr? Do you know somebody that needs a Musicam Road Warrior?" Or you name, fill in the blank name. You know, in the last 2 months, I've had probably 7 people ask me. I'm like, put that thing on eBay now, because it's going to be flooded with ISDN stuff in a while.
So. Okay. All right. What time is it here?
Well, we probably should take a break.
Yeah, we can take a break here and get into our Widdums. How long is your Widdums World this week?
About 8 or 9 minutes.
Okay. And so then we can just sit here and talk some more.
Yeah.
Since we've only been doing that for the last hour and a half.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we've got Dave Quavasi is going to come on and talk about his book in just a few moments. We're going to have a Widdums World coming on. And George and I are going to breathe on each other, which is something we never get to do. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop, so do not go away.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers, united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
I just love that clip. When I saw that, I was like, I've never stolen a clip from a movie to use on a show. Maybe it's going to bring down our show. I don't care.
We'll find out. Yeah, awesome. I heard the reviews for Grand Budapest Hotel weren't very good. You said, no, it's really funny. And I saw that clip. I'm like, okay, so Marcy and I rented it last week. Yeah. And we're like, what are people complaining about?
It was like Monty Python. It's not funny to everybody.
It was very dry, and it was, but it was cute, and
I like the writing,
and what's his name?
The whole cast.
Yeah, the whole cast.
Wes Anderson. I just like his style.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So we've got a Whittem's World, and everybody asks about microphones. I mean, that's probably like, should I use this? Should I use that? Well, I think you.
Yeah, my little take on a couple comparing a few of the mics that I have in this little studio of mine, and we'll run this and we'll take some more questions right after this.
Hi, this is George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World. This week's question is about shotgun microphones, and it came in from Ben. Ben writes, "Could you go more in depth on shotgun microphones? Whether it's on a forum or with Buffalo Dan the Mustache Man, you've stated that the NTG3 is very similar to the 416, especially when a high-pass filter is applied. Well, even with the high-pass filter, what would not be similar between these microphones? Would a sound engineer be able to tell the difference? Will you still get a professional broadcast quality with the NTG3? Many artists state that they use the 416 as their promo mic, but a different microphone is used for character voices or audiobooks. Is it necessary to have a large diaphragm condenser available when you own a 416 or an NTG3? Is it true that not a whole lot of EQ is needed on these microphones? Is either one better for a more resonant voice? All right, well, there's a lot of questions stacked up in there. I'll try to chisel through them one at a time. What would not be similar between these two microphones? Well, I don't have an NTG3 here. I do have a Sennheiser 416, which was on loan to me for a very long time from my dear client, Sylvia Villagran. Sylvia, it's going back today, I promise. And so I can demonstrate what this microphone sounds like. But I will tell you from experience and using the NTG3, which is made by Rode, is that it's a different sounding mic, quite different sounding, even though they have very similar looking designs. The NTG3 has more bottom end or bass response, and not as much upper mid-range, low treble range presence that makes the microphone really make your voice cut through the mix. So they do definitely have different sounds. And would one be noticeable by an engineer if you switched microphones mid-sentence? I would say yes, an engineer would hear the difference. If you've EQ'd it to make one sound like the other, probably not. And if you look right up here, or maybe it's over here, I'm going to put the graphic of the response curve of those two mics so you can see how different they are. Well, let's compare a shotgun mic with a large diaphragm condenser. So I'm using my large diaphragm condenser, and you've probably been hearing the sound of tapping and hammering, and you're thinking, God, George, you don't normally have all that background noise during your videos. What's the deal? Well, I decided to do this during the day, during business hours, while the sun is out, while there's construction going on, while there's small aircraft flying overhead, so you could kind of hear a worst-case scenario of what a home studio might sound like with these different microphones. So what I'll do next is I'll go ahead and switch out this microphone for a Sennheiser 416, and then I'll switch to another shotgun microphone that is an entirely different class of price, cost, size, everything, and we can compare that one as well. So let me go ahead and switch these two microphones while we're talking here. All right, now we're using a Sennheiser 416. I haven't touched a thing. I didn't change the gain. I didn't change much about it. Even the position is similar. It's a little bit higher pointing down, but it's the same distance away as the other microphone. So let's compare the amount of background noise this mic picks up. Is it hearing more background noise? Well, it's kind of quiet right now. I paid the guy $20 to keep hammering. Why won't he keep hammering? But hopefully this is going to knock out a little bit more of the background noise because it is super cardioid. It's super directional. It mostly picks up what's in front of it, less so what's on the sides. And that's the whole idea of a shotgun mic. But these mics also have distinctly different voicings. but you might find they're more similar to each other than you'd probably expect, no matter how different the microphones are. They're voiced to sound a certain way, and that way happens to be rather similar. So that's the way a 416 would sound, and it really does work well for promo because it cuts through the mix. Because of its response, it tends to take a voice and help the engineer elevate the voice out and above the effects in the background music. It just works really well for that. But it's just not the greatest mic for doing audiobooks because it tends to be a little bit shrill, strident, a little bit too aggressive, a little bit too present. It may not be a mic you want to listen to over the course of a long audiobook. That being said, if it was the only mic you owned and you put all of your pennies and savings into this mic, it's not going to keep you from doing great audiobook work, and I can EQ one mic to sound like another mic. Not identical, but I can make two mics sound almost exactly the same. Check it out over VOStudioTech.com. I can show you how that works. So don't worry about that. Is it true, though, that not a whole lot of EQ is needed? Well, it depends. Depends on your voice, depends on your room, depends on how you work the microphone, and it depends on the final mix and how the voice and your mix will fit together. I think, you know, depending on your voice quality in the room you're in, any one of these could work well on a resonant voice. Well, let's try another mic. Let's say you are in a small room. Small rooms like whisper rooms, anything that's really confined, has a lot of low-end resonance, like I talked about last week on the episode about acoustics, episode 30. So some microphones have a lot less low-end response. They're less sensitive at the bottom end. Well, the least sensitive out of all three of these microphones that I have here at the lowest end frequency range is this AT-875R. So let's go ahead and switch the cable to the AT-875R and let's compare how these two microphones sound. Well, now we've got a saw going. Whoopee, a saw. And we're hoping that it's helping to reduce the background noise, but I can tell by how loud that saw is, it doesn't matter what microphone I'm using, it's gonna hear that background noise. Some noises are just so intense that a microphone, no matter how directional, is still gonna pick up too much background noise for voiceover recording. But the AT-875R is definitely a microphone that's gonna be friendlier in small acoustical spaces because it tends to counteract the resonance of the room. And for that reason, I think it may work better for someone that has an overly or maybe a heavily resonant voice for that same reason. If you tend to work in a small booth or a closet and it gets too boomy, the 875R is going to be the best mic of these three to work with because it counteracts that really well. So there you have it, a couple different microphones. You got to hear them all in context in the same space with the same setup on the same voice. So that should give you something to listen to. And if you'd like to have your question answered on a future Whittem's World, please send it in to whittemsworld@edgestudio.com. And I'll look forward to answering it on a future episode. Send them in. We need your questions. That's what keeps the show driving forward. And if you've got specific questions on something that needs attention, that's more of a custom situation, something that's time sensitive, or you just want to get your hand held through a process that you're having a hard time with, that's what my tech support services are all about over at vostudiotech.com. Once again, my name is George Whittem, and this has been Whittem's World. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, I mean, microphone choice, it's a lot of voodoo, and sometimes we get clouded by cost of microphone affecting our performance. Some people feel like if they're not speaking into a really good studio, you know, that looks good, or if they're not speaking into an expensive German mic or whatever, it just, some people say it will actually affect their performance. You know, if that's you, then figure it out. And if that's you, then, you know, see if it makes a difference. But to me, there's something about just knowing that you have the right gear for the job and that it didn't cost you an arm and a leg and it works well and it's easy to use and you can count on it every time.
Right.
I mean, that's the best.
Yeah. And nobody needs to, again, like we always say, nobody needs to see how you make the sausage.
Right. Right.
It's only if it sounds right on the other end and they ain't complaining.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Saying
you have a TLM 103 or an AT-3035. Well, this is actually a Marshall, what, 2006?
Yeah, or 1006 or something like
that. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a condenser mic.
Right.
Most people can't toe the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's the equipment that's going to get you the work, then you are sadly mistaken.
I mean, we talk, I like high value equipment, but you know, certain things you find along the way, you kind of get behind and you go, wow, this thing worked for me and it worked for that guy. And this other guy said he liked it. So maybe I'll recommend it to a lot more people. And one of those pieces of equipment is the Scarlett 2i2.
Yes.
By Focusrite. And we both recommend it to a lot of people. Dan has one.
I have one.
Is it your primary?
It's been my primary. You know, primary interface? I had an Epigee 1 for a long time, and then I gave it to somebody, and it promptly didn't work for him.
Mm, yeah.
And
no, I stopped recommending the Apogee 1 a while ago.
Yeah, but now we're seeing problems with the new ones, too.
Yeah, well,
what do we do?
The Scarlett 2i2 is, you know, I've had numerous clients with either problems out of the box or soon after buying, you know. And I started a thread about this on our group, but the way I kind of look at it is all these things are mass produced and they're built really as cheaply as possible. I mean, in order for it to be sold retail for $120.
Right.
And make it all the way through distribution, get on a boat from China. These things can't cost probably more than $20-$30 to build, you know, tops.
But it was amazingly reliable up until now.
Yeah, it's just, I guess when you recommend it to enough people, the odds of finding one that goes bad is going to increase.
That's possible.
Maybe it's only 1 in 10 that is bad, but when you've recommended 100 people to buy them, you hear about those 10 people. So you wonder, is this now a piece of equipment I should stop recommending? Or is it just the way it goes and this is the way, you know, budget equipment is? And is it worth spending 4 times more for something better or not?
Well,
you
know? Of course, price generally has a component of reliability to it. And we've always talked about this.
You get what you pay for. When you use something really heavily all day long, it should be made well.
But I've had no problems with my 2i2.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple of compatibility problems with Skype here and there. But for the most part, it's been great.
The hardware has been reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I should stop recommending it, but I will say that anything that is, you know, bargain priced has a higher chance of failure.
Being disposable.
Yeah, it's just the QC is so expensive, the quality control. They're not going to burn the unit in for 2 days and run it through a bunch of tests in the lab and meet. Right. No, they're not going to do that, you know. Right. So, yes, you may have more problems. And, you know, because these things are so cheap, buy 2 of them.
Yeah, if
you rely on that heavily in your studio, especially the portable stuff like the little Micport Pros and buy 2 of the darn things, you know, it's still a lot cheaper than buying a really expensive one. And you've got a backup because even an expensive one can fail.
Now, I found by using, you know, I had the 2i2, but I also bought an iTrack Solo, which is essentially
the same thing. Yeah.
And it works, you know, with your iPad or an iPhone, but it also is a USB interface. So if one goes down, you just plug it right in and there's literally no change in any of my settings or anything.
Yeah, I don't think the sound quality has changed at all. I think
it's probably not the same
processor. I mean, same preamp in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're waiting for Dave Cavassier here sooner or later.
Yeah, he's going to be here soon.
Very soon. Did we run your spot?
No, we didn't run your spot.
So run your spot, and then I'm sure Dave will wander in while we're watching that. And we'll talk all about his new book, Not Just a Voice.
All right.
Should be interesting. And, of course, again, if you've got questions, again, because there were a bunch of questions while we were answering questions before, if you had a question in the chat room, email it to us at ewabshop@gmail.com, and we'll get it on next week.
Absolutely. We love answering the questions. Yeah. It makes the show a lot more fun for us and helps you guys, too. Yeah.
So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Merci, et maintenant...
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Stop! Meow! Snails!
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
You're muted, don't you?
There no, I got Dave on. He's just getting ready. Dave is getting into the chair now, folks.
All right.
Are we having fun yet?
No.
Hey, man.
Are you kidding? It's been fun for 3 years.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
People didn't see what just happened, but I mean, you just walked out of this air studio and sat down.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
That's because you are a professional news guy.
You got the makeup on. It, you know, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But the tie's not up, done up and all that
no,
stuff.
No, I already did. I undo that first thing, get rid of the noose. Yeah.
Dave, how long have you been on the air?
Let's see now. I started in 79 or 80. So, yeah, that's a few years.
Wow. Yeah. Do you still get a little bit of a, do you get a little bit of a buzz from being live on TV?
Only if it's unscripted, you know, you have to do the ad like tonight. We started to do the 4 o'clock news and the producer said, we just heard Robin Williams died. Ad lib something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I did not know which movie he won the Academy Award for, but I knew he'd won one and had been a star. And of course, Aladdin, he was the voice of the genie. I mean, he's done so much. My gosh.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff kind of gets me going. But I love that. I mean, that's the challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, I mean, you are the announcer on the intro to this show. We've known you for a long time, but I don't know if people really, you know, there are a lot of people who may not know exactly who you are. Tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from and how you got where you are today, which is,
you know, I started in radio in 1977 and switched to TV and never looked back, kept knocking on doors, kept my nose to the grindstone. And then about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago, I started thinking, you know, what's next? I mean, I thought I had at least one good thing left in me. And I chose voiceover because it seemed at the time to be, you know, tangential, you know, to broadcasting. Mm. And what did I find out? It's really something totally different. I mean, there are some things that maybe intersect, but pretty much voice acting is a whole different bag. And that's okay. I got a great education. And in the process, I learned a lot, you know, so.
Hopefully good things.
Man, you put that about 45
and, you know,
seconds.
Here's the deal. You know, in broadcasting, it can be really competitive. Dog eat dog. Not so, as we all know, in voice acting. It's so friendly and supportive and encouraging. And I was totally floored by that. I did not expect that. I expected hard-nosed competition. And there's a little bit, but most of everything is just so helpful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you come at that and you're always ready to have your guard up. You know, it's like you're ready for the attack or whatever it is.
Instead, you just get mentors and helpers and people who enable you. I just love that about this community.
Yeah. And you've been a big part of that too. And helping us organize, you know, into World Voices Organization and all the other stuff that we do. It's a great community.
Wait a minute. You're saying there's not like a television anchor man or anchor person forum on Facebook and you guys hang out and share?
No, I don't think so. There is a newsletter that comes out every day, TV Spy, and it has all the dirt that happens in the different markets and who's getting hired and who's getting fired and who got arrested for DUI and whatnot. But it's not like this at all. It's not. I haven't found one that's enabling and encouraging like this group is.
Yeah. Now you have a book that just came out. So, you know, shamelessly plug away more than just a voice.
Well, years ago on voice acting, not knowing just a whole heck of a lot. And every day 5 days a week for now 7 years. I've been writing consistently a blog, you know, five days a week is a lot. It's a real discipline. And, you know, not all blogs were great, but a lot of them were, and a lot of them had some great information that lasted the test of time, like this one with 50 plus royalty-free music sites. My gosh, that's gotten a million hits. Yep. And then I came out with one that was 36 plus sound effects sites. And those and other articles like them that stand the test of time deserved, I thought, to be collated and organized and filtered into a book. I kind of always had that in the back of my mind that I'd write a book. And so I took that content and hired a virtual assistant to help me with the editing and the creation of it. And here it is. More than just a voice. So the title, in case you haven't figured it out yet, all of us get a call sooner or later, sometimes more often than we want, from someone who says, you know, hey, my name's Bob and I'm a plumber right now, but everybody tells me I've got a great voice and I want to get into voice acting. And my standard answer became, you know, it takes more than just a voice. Mm. So I do hammer away at a lot of the different things that you need to master to be a good voice actor. And yeah, maybe 10 to 20% of it is a good voice, but the rest is just being a good freelance business person.
The title, you can interpret it. I now realize you can interpret it more than one way. I like the way you're interpreting it, is that it takes more than just a voice.
Exactly. To,
you know, but it's almost like, but I'm Dave Cavassier. I'm more than just a voice.
Well,
know?
That too.
It's not about you per se. It's about the industry. It's about
in fact, the back cover says Dave is more than just a pretty voice.
that's right. There you go. And the front cover doesn't have your face on there.
That's not my face.
That is not your lips there.
No, it's really nuts. I guess it could be if I didn't shave, but it's not.
Maybe
that was, you know, royalty free.
There you go.
So would this be a great book to, as Anthony said in the chat room, that I would give this book, this would be the book I'd recommend to new voice actors or a fledgling.
Well, there are several. I think this could be one of them. Yeah. You know, James Allberger's book is great. Paul Struck-Werda's book is great. Elaine Clark's book is, I mean, there's a lot of really good ones. I think this one fits that mold. It's good reminders for those who are seasoned voice actors too. There's a lot of good stuff in there, just lists of things that you can do or you should be thinking about doing or you might want to take a second look at. And so in that sense, it's not just for newbies. It's really for anybody who's in the business.
Yeah. So how do you have it arranged? What really is the focus of this book? How do you have it like?
I organized it into sections. The first one is, so you want to be a voice actor. So that's right. really for newbies. And it's got a lot of lists and things you should do, auditioning and first takes and whether that's good. 5 tips for taking advantage of downtime. Then the next chapter after that is there is no downtime. Part two is about learning and finding coaches and demos and how to, you know, how to continue your education in voice acting. Part 3, the business of the VO business is really the heart of the book, I think, because that's what you really got to focus on to be a successful voice actor. You know, we all know people who don't have voice of God voices, but they make a great living at voice acting. And this is where we get into that, managing your email and keeping good books and, you know, 7 reasons to go paperless, things like that. And finally, the 4th part is golden because it's full of links. And that's why I almost encourage you to get the Kindle book, even though I make more money if you buy the paperback. I encourage you to get the Kindle because it's full of links. And, you know, I list agents and resources, and you guys are listed there. Both of you are listed in that because of the great stuff that you provide. And, you know, it's just resources. And that part alone, I think, is worth the cost of admission for the book.
Yeah, and because there is so much material out there, but it's good to organize it. And Chris, but you've been doing this blog. How long you've been writing your
blog?
Like
I said, I think I started in 07. Yeah, I started in 07. And I give thanks to the guys who kind of encouraged me to start. Bob Sarr was one of them. Jeffrey Kafer was one of them.
Yeah.
They just said, well, you know, I said, why are you guys blogging? And they said, well, you know, it kind of helps us organize our thoughts and this and that. And I said, okay. So I tried it. And I just determined I was going to do it every night, 5 nights a week, for as long as it took. And at first I only got like 10, 12, 20 viewers, you know, for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And it started slowly building. I mean, to blog successfully, you got to keep after it. You got to really keep after it.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting really good subscribers and viewership. And that's what all the work paid off for.
For the 4 people on the planet who haven't seen your blog, where do you draw inspiration for the blog? Is it just latest news stories, tech gear, or just everything out there?
I just keep my nose to the ground on stuff. I going through email, I'll find just tips and tricks and stuff, or just hints of ideas, and I go, I can write a blog about that. And I keep a list too, a kind of a working list of stuff that I want to do that I haven't blogged about yet. I look at newsletters. I keep track of, you know, sales or, you know, equipment stuff that's happening. I'm asked to blog by some people who want, you know, something done on
their product.
Like today, I got something from Edge Studio about a new hire on the staff. You know, and Leanne Linsky sent that, and try to get that on about Edge. And you know, luckily people want to be seen on my blog, so I get a lot of requests, and that's really nice to know that people think highly of it.
Yeah. Well, I've been interviewed on it. You've been interviewed on it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
George paid me a huge compliment one day. He said, you know, sometimes when I don't know what to say on eWebs, I'll look through your blog and get topics for ideas for what to talk about on eWebs.
Absolutely. Man, that was great. You know, you've been doing, you know, at this a while. 153 shows in, you're like, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we always come up
there's
with
always something.
Yeah. There's always going to be something. Now, one of the things that you've been following lately, and you've probably written more about this than anything else, is the ISDN alternatives.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, you and I have done a webinar on it.
And you and I have made presentations about it. I haven't heard a lot lately, but I know things are cooking because it's not going to go away. I mean, ISDN is slowly fading, or maybe quickly fading, at least in some of the flyover states. And what's taking its place is all these new IP solutions, and George is up on all this stuff as well. You know, and something's going to emerge, maybe two or three players, you know, can all find room in that space for that market. But right now, it's interesting to see how they're in a dogfight to get to win your allegiance. And I love that. It's making the whole product line that much better.
Yeah, well, I enjoy how you've been following it as a journalist.
Yeah.
And really following the story and showing us, you know, all these progressions and as it's been happening. Is there anything in the book about that?
A lot of stuff about ISDN and Source Connect and IPDTL. That's kind of in an equipment chapter.
You write about equipment in a book, and you're going to crack this book open in 8 years or 10 years, and you're just going to go, what? This is so
And that's why, you know, the book's not going to be good for years. It'll be good for a year or two, maybe. And then it's time to write another one. I've got one in the works right now that I'm working on that's for social media tips for voice actors. But man, my rule of thumb on social media is if it's 2 months old, it's too old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, stuff happens that fast. So it's going to be hard writing a book about social media that's lasting.
Are you doing print on demand?
Yes, through Create Space,
It's great, because so you never, that's the thing, you print 1,000 books, and then you have 800 books in a box.
I ordered about 50 or so to take with me down to Voice, and I'm going to bring a bunch of them down to FAFCON as well and sign them there and sell them. And, you know, it's easy with Square. You get your little Square thing on your iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. You know, I love digital. Love it.
I know, it's fun.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid of it, everybody.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of audience questions here.
Let's get to these audience questions.
Because, you know, we know your time is short because...
No, I'm good. I'm good to go.
You know, I'm not going to do the donkey fire in Red Rock Canyon story. not going to happen. Oh, I threw it out there, didn't I?
Oh, you did it anyway.
I did it anyway.
Never let me live that one down.
Never. Of course. All right, starting off here with our good friend Lee Penny. I'd like to ask Dave, and you now are through my lips, if reporting on tragic news stories like you had to do today is outweighed by the positives, or does it take its toll after a while? You know, you're such a genuinely positive person, and we all know that you are. He likes to know how you shake off the difficult news day.
You know, there are days that are just, I mean, after the third child abuse story and the second triple murder suicide love triangle death, you know, you kind of just go, what is going on out there? I mean, Vegas is a place with great, supposedly what you'd say is a great triage of top stories. I mean, but they're all lousy, and you know, people have done good newscasts and they don't survive, or they've made good news publications but they don't survive. People want to hear the crap, and so you do tend to learn how to build emotional calluses to, you know, to survive it all. I mean, there's a healthy sense of humor in the newsroom. It's kind of a little sarcastic, you know. This is the defense mechanism you have to, you know, to be able to survive that, because if you really thought about it, it's terrible.
Yeah,
you know. So, but today's story—that's more of a national story. We didn't do a lot on it because we're local. We did have some pictures of Robin doing the MGM here in town, because he's been here many times to do a show, and so we kind of use that angle. But you know, stuff like that—you just kind of go, well, "Robin Williams, really? Ouch!" Yeah.
When you equate success with happiness, like, you know, career success with happiness. Yeah. You just get confused. Like, you think that the one that, you know, they're like this, right?
Yeah, he makes everybody else happy, but inside, you know, tears of a clown kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yeah, we heard the story
very tortured,
over and over.
Tortured soul.
Thanks, okay. Lee, for that question.
No, that's a good one. Can I ask a question really fast?
Go for it.
Dave, how true to life is Anchorman, the legend, Ron Burgundy,
I only saw the first one. I couldn't bring myself to go to the second one.
No, the second one was terrible. I saw it again last night. I mean,
talking about ribbing each other off the air and stuff.
You
know, I've never lost an arm in a fight in a parking lot.
Yet.
Yeah.
that's where the movie really goes off the rails.
There's plenty of egos involved. I mean, yeah. You know, but...
Is the weather guy really the dumbest one in the end?
No.
You see him back there flipping coins because they don't know what to predict. You know? let's see. We'll call it cloudy today. All right.
Or a dartboard. And yeah.
It's all pretty serious. And I work with a great team here. So I feel like, you know, this is as good as it gets.
Do you guys want to even see each other at the end of the day? I mean, do you ever socialize outside of the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Often there's parties, you know, for one reason or other. Somebody's leaving, somebody's coming.
Sure. Like any office. Like,
right,
you know,
it really is. I mean, we all support each other and kind of know each other's personal stories. And it's really, I mean, in that sense, this is one of the best stations I've ever worked at. It's got great equipment, great management, great ownership. I mean, people are great. It's one of the last few really good stations, I think, in America that keeps all that together.
I've gotten to sit in there two times now and be in the, and watch it go down. And just the machine, it's so smooth and it's operate with such
efficiency. A newscast is an exercise in error management. You know, there's about 15 people involved and any one of those links could go south and then you get a crash. But yeah, we keep it to a minimum.
Yeah. I like how you guys do your social media updates. Where you're sitting around your desk and people are like, oh yeah, Dave, we're going to be talking about this. That's so cutting edge.
And it just used to be you, and now you've got some of the other.
Some of the people have started doing it. You know, that's the future. We've got a social media producer now,
and he
rides herd over everything we put on the web and on Facebook and on Instagram, and we're under a lot of pressure to make contributions there now more than. On air. I mean, it's when we lose a person and they replace him, it's usually if someone goes from broadcast to digital.
Right.
You know, the new person comes in and does web stuff.
Right.
But do you take claim for some credit for bringing the social media to the.
That's hard for me to, you know, say, I did that.
On your station.
But I did kind of, you know, kicking and screaming, dragged them into the next century.
Yeah. you got some clout then. All right. Shelly Avellino, who we all know.
Shelly.
First, she says she misses you since she's not in Vegas. She's up in Albuquerque. Congratulations on the book. She wants a signed copy, of course. You've said before that it's a challenge for anyone coming from a different area of entertainment, whether it be on screen, music, on stage, or a newscaster like yourself. What's been the most challenging voiceover job that you've had, and why?
The most challenging voiceover job? Well, as you know, if you come from a broadcast background, and I include DJs and newscasters in that, you've got this patterned speech thing to get over. You know, you've got to either stop puking into the mic as a DJ, or you've got to stop being a news guy. And, you know, you get coaching to get past that, because it's for me, after 30 years, it's just natural for me to talk like a news guy. And I've had to, you know, to do commercials. The hardest job I've had to do is do commercials and not be a news deliverer.
Right.
And I've had to learn to be more conversational, a little more. I have to slouch through my words a little more than tend to be articulate. You know, I've had to learn to be a little more. It's almost more sloppy.
Right.
You know, more human.
Like you have to detune yourself a little bit. So does something stand out? Like she was asking about a particular job. I don't know if anything stands out, but
a particular job. For me, probably the audiobooks is the toughest because you're really expected to come out of your skin and act and create different characters and be consistently good at each one of those characters. And that really, you have to reach down pretty deep to find the emotional well for that.
That's pretty hard to me.
it's not really easy. I'm not sure I've mastered it at any level, but mm-hmm. I've done about 40 titles now, and it's been a little dry lately, so maybe mm-hmm. I didn't do so well at it. But that, to me, that's the biggest stretch.
Yeah. The real Amy Fisher asks, Dave, do you prefer on camera or voiceover?
You know, you do anything for 30 years and you kind of reach a point where I've been there, done that. I'm kind of ready for something new. And so it's really paying the bills and I got kids in college. So that's, you know, and my wife likes the health insurance, but you know, sooner or later it's going to go away and I'm going to go full time into voiceover. It's just my destiny, I feel like, and I really want to, I'm poised to do that and I want to do that. And so when the time is right, I'll jump.
All right, your turn.
Arlene Tennis. Question for David. In the lessons you've learned in voiceover, what has surprised you the most, good or bad, and what one thing did you discover to be total BS?
Oh, my gosh.
Man, how about these questions, huh?
I think I've talked about the surprise it was to find the community, how supportive it was.
Yes.
And then that wasn't just something that came and went. It just keeps giving. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed by that. It's the goodness of the heart of the community that brings me coming back. Really nice. And the second question was,
what one thing did you discover just was totally BS? Just was.
I'm sure we can find several in there. Yeah.
Up to a certain point. I mean, I early on just started acquiring equipment, thinking that, you know, the better equipment I got, the better I'd sound. And that's only true to a point of diminishing returns. So it is true that good equipment will help your sound. But then you got to say, I got enough good stuff. Now it's time to start working on the voice and the coaching, you know.
You can get caught up in the tech.
Yeah.
When we're all kind of radio broadcast geek, we got that geeky side.
Yeah.
You can get sucked into it. We get gas.
Well, gas.
Yeah.
Gear acquisition syndrome. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Mike Hales asks, any tips on managing a full-time job while also trying to build a voice acting career?
Look, I've got a whole Google Plus community built on this concept. It's called Transitioning to Full-Time VO. Derek Chappell and I manage this site. Please ask for an invite and I'll send you one, because it's a real chore. You know, I feel like I can only go so far in voice acting because I've got this glass ceiling of a TV news anchor job that keeps getting in the way and taking my time. On the other hand, it's paying the bills real well. So, you know, you just have to find the balance. I get home at midnight after the 11 o'clock news. I get home at midnight and I go in my studio and I'm up till 3 or 4 in the morning because, well, it's quiet. There's no dogs barking. There's no leaf blowers. And it's the house is quiet. I can really get a lot of stuff done. But then I sleep till, you know, 11 or 12, get up and go start it all over again. And I do miss the chance to audition some things that are rush jobs or hurry, get them in today. And I can't, you know, I just can't meet that schedule sometimes. It's frustrating because I know I could get that audition and I can't do it because I've got to balance it. So you just have to find it for yourself. It's what your spouse and your kids and your family and your time allows.
Absolutely. One last question, but I have one for you. Do you sleep?
I do, just not your hours.
I get these emails in the middle of the night, and it's like, did you ever go to bed?
I sleep from like 3 or 4 in the morning to 10 or 11, you know, so I get seven hours.
Rockstar sleep hours.
I automate a lot of my tweets, so it looks like I'm still awake doing stuff.
Okay.
And I schedule my blog to hit at 2 in the morning, which is like 4 or 5 in the morning, you know, East Coast time. So it looks like I'm awake, but I'm sleeping.
No, I'm talking the personal emails that come at 3 in the morning.
Oh, well.
Dave was up last night.
It's the guys from England, you know, that, like, I've been talking to Mike Cooper lately because he's getting ready to move to the United States. And when he's up in the morning, I'm still up late at night and we chat and talk.
Yeah, it's like two ships
around the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great thing about this business is that we are the global village.
It is.
And it's kind of fun. Last question from our wonderful audience.
How do you like doing the audio version of Dave?
Oh, man. That, you know, I forgot about how my head was so into getting this print version out that I forgot about doing the audiobook. And then early, I mean, like the first 2-3 days of the release, I got a ton of questions. When's the audiobook version coming? I go, duh, I got to do that. So I started diving into it. And how much fun is it to read your own stuff? Because my style of writing is conversational. So when I'm reading it, when I'm narrating it, it's like, well, this is me talking. So
right. It's interesting.
It's pretty easy. I've got the first 70 pages done and I'm working to get it done as soon as I can, but it's not quite yet.
Oh, I'm looking forward
to
that.
A lot of fun. I mean, yeah.
Oh, one more slipped in.
Yeah. Well, Shelley's never short of questions.
But,
she was going to ask, and she now actually is, what software do you use to automate your social media?
Oh my gosh. Well, I use Hootsuite and TweetDeck, but I think the one I use the most to automate my tweets anyway is socialoomph.com. Mm-hmm. And that's just like it sounds, socialoomph.com. And it's, you know, I pay a subscription rate every month for that. But it really, they've come around to be very feature rich, functional rich. It's really can do a ton of stuff. I hadn't even discovered all I can do, but that's what I use. And then, you know, you can time stuff on Facebook. You don't have to pay extra for it or anything.
Yeah, I've used it. It is really powerful. You know, I find that there's a balance, you know, you can, because it's so automated, you can maybe overdo it sometimes.
Yeah. You gotta watch out.
It's easy to overdo it, but it's really amazing. Social Ohm. And you go to the website, you go, it's not sophisticated looking. It looks very simple, but what it does is pretty powerful. Yeah. And yes.
So go to Kindle or go to Amazon and just search for my last name if you can spell it, or just search for More Than Just a Voice and it'll pop up. You can get a print version, you can get a Kindle version. I think it's competitively priced. Thank you for your time, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Now he's got to get it on Harlan's site too.
Yeah.
He sells books there.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be easy for him.
You think Harlan would take it?
Well, we'll have to ask him. Well, because we know, and how's that for a segue?
We have a little sway with Harlan.
Yes, we do.
I like it.
We should let Dave
put in a word for me.
Yeah,
we'll let Dave do it for you.
We know there's news happening in Vegas
because
it's the Naked City.
We're going to do our plug for Dave for Harlan.
But Dave, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
See ya.
Take it easy.
And take out. Okay.
All right, man.
All right. We're back here. All right. So, we were talking about our good friend Harlan Hogan.
Yes.
Who actually has books on his website.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, why don't we go to his website and show some of the books that he actually has on there.
We should
right. actually peruse into voiceoveressentials.com.
All right. I'm doing that right now. I just have to click a button or
he's
two.
Just clicking a button or two.
You know, when you have somebody here in the studio with you, it's slightly more distracting.
Yes, because I'm not typing what it is. Okay, we're going to do this next. I'm just thinking, we're just sort of like winging it and hoping that it'll all fit together.
I know.
You know, but at least you're taking my verbal cues here, which is good.
Hanging in there.
Okay. Let's go into, you know, of course, he's got the microphones and he's got the new mixer face in there and stuff.
Let's see what he has to say about mixer face.
Because
this is a pretty hot new product that's coming any day now.
Well, can't wait to try it.
It's he's gonna have it available. Harlan knows the folks at Centrance that make the mixer face.
Yep.
He's hung out with them.
They're in Chicago
with them, and he's gonna be sign up now and be one of the first to snag one. I think they're shipping in September. That's what JS told me, but the mixer face is the hot new product. If you want to record on an iPhone, it's an all-in-one device. You can use it on iPhone, tablet, laptop, Windows, Mac, doesn't matter. It works on anything.
Right.
You know, so
that's a great thing to have.
He's got that on his website.
And because it costs a little bit more, we know that it's going to be fairly reliable.
Well, yeah, he's not shipping this thing until it's the real deal. Like it's been through a lot of, updates and
they're revisions. Dropping it off the Sears Tower just to see what happens.
Exactly. But you can see some demos on here. That. Right. But that's at the high end of things. It's $700 bucks.
But, you know, but we were talking about books and we know that he, aside from all the equipment, Harlan does carry books on that website.
He does.
Apple's book and a few others that are in there. So if you're looking for some good reading material after you finish Dave's book,
go to the Career Resources,
and you'll see some of the books that he has there. And
all of you guys are on his website right now. You're slowing it down.
Ooh.
You guys all must be like perusing voiceoveressentials.com right now.
Which is making Harlan very happy.
but quite a
collection.
He's got books that are outside of the usual voiceover topics, too. He's got stuff like
Laws of Branding.
Yep, stuff about just being a working actor, not a voice actor, but an actor. Okay. I mean, if you've already read enough VO books, you might want to check into some of the topics outside of the voiceover industry specific, because, you know, you might find that the 22 immutable laws of marketing. There's a topic.
Yeah, okay.
We should have Al Rees and Jack Trout on to talk about that. Uh-oh.
Oh, what? What? Who would be calling me at this moment? Well, let's
see. Did we plan this?
No. Hold on one second. This is what we do live. Hello? I'm on doing a show right now. Oh, well. Oh, let me put you on speaker. Could you say that to everybody, please?
Oh, poo.
All right. I'll talk to you later. All right.
Oh, poo.
She misses me. Yes, of course it was my wife. Yeah. See, when you're usually, it's 9 o'clock. you know, it's like just a little, you know, a little bit after 10 on the East Coast.
You're supposed to be there.
I'm supposed to be there. You know, I mean, yeah. I forgot that I had to do the show at 6, not at 9 tonight. Apparently, she also forgot that.
It messes with your head, doesn't it?
That's right. It's messing with it. But she'll be out here tomorrow, and then I'll really get to mess with her head. We get to share a hotel room with our youngest son. I've been doing that for 8 nights. It's been a very entertaining couple of...
But anyway, if you're looking for books, it's not, he's got a wide variety, and maybe it's a good place to look because maybe you'll find books on there you hadn't thought of looking at.
Right.
In the first place, and that's what's so cool about the website. It's not just about equipment. It's about resources and... it's a, you know, you might, maybe if you like this book, you might find something you hadn't thought of before.
Yeah. So that's all for the 5-minute commercial for voiceoveressentials.com.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you very much, Harlan. 153 episodes.
Well, be sure to send him a link to this one.
Yes.
This was a good one.
You will. This counts for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway. All righty. What do we got left here? I think we have some announcements in here somewhere.
Do we really?
I think we do.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
All right.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
Right. We got lots of stuff. We have to first thank our donors. Who are the latest? Well, we know Eric Aragone because I saw his weekly donation in there last week. But a lot of people have been signing up for the monthly donation.
Yeah. We've got several people who are donating monthly. Jack DeGallia, who... he's giving us money, and he watches the show,
and he works for us.
Doing, yeah. Come on, people. Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Eric Aragone, you never, ever miss a beat. Dave Smith, thanks for the contribution.
Absolutely.
That was a really nice one. And then we got Larissa Gallagher with her active monthly donations. Martha Kahn has one coming in. Lee Penny, another guy who contributes to the show in time and money.
Well, he must think we're important.
I guess so. I hope we're helping.
It's important. We appreciate your help.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens when somebody else's commercials end up on here.
I know.
So can be
on
kind
the
of
live dis- show. It really
does sort of
a screeching halt.
Throw a little bit of a, you know, something into the spokes. So we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. And if you look right above my head tonight, as opposed to George's head. The donation button is right there, so you can, if you'd like to help us out. We're not making money off of this. We're trying to make this show better for you, and that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
All right, what else we got going on here? Let's see. EWAB's Essentials. There are a few in there, and some really good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I got to look in there lately, see what's
there. There's some good stuff in there. There's one with Kelly Passano, who I was over at Voicecasters this week, and she was showing me around, and I'm like, by the way, you are the first person on EWAB's Essentials answering some really good questions that we had for her about how do you work with the voice casting company.
Yeah, how
company.
Do you work with a casting?
And she had
yeah.
some great answers for that. You know, that's in there. I think there's some stuff with Eric Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
We had some great stuff. There's a tip of the week. There's all sorts of great stuff in there. And they're going to continue to add those in there. So if you want there's 5 minutes of
small bites
of East West Audio Body Shop, you can go over to EWAB's Essentials.
Yeah.
All right.
Future shows.
We've
got Connie Terwilliger.
The lovely and tall Connie Terwilliger mm-hmm. will be joining us next week.
Yeah, that's the 18th, right? Yeah, yep. 18th.
On August 25th, we're going to have a social media roundtable. We were talking with Dave about social media and stuff, but we've got some people who really know social media almost as well as Dave. I don't think anybody knows more than he does.
He's pretty wild.
But these people do. Mm-hmm. Trish the Dish, Trish Bassani, is going to mm-hmm. be with us. John Lano will be with us. The amazingly talented and lovely Lisa Rice
mm-hmm.
and Derek Chappelle will be with us.
Yeah.
And so,
or Chapel. I guess it's Chappelle.
Dave called him Chapel.
Yeah.
So we'll call him Chapel.
Yeah, I think
if
he
it's
knows.
Chappelle, will whatever his name.
Yeah, I think he does.
Dave, tell us, please.
Yeah.
But Derek also, please.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very interesting because we're going to talk about social media and how to use it properly. I mean, we've marketed the show using social media. And obviously it's worked for us, so maybe it'll work for you in your voiceover business. And then on Labor Day...
Are we going to do our show that night or not?
Because we're going to be at Voice 2014. The week before, on a Thursday night. We're going to record our show from there. So we could present the recorded version on Labor Day, Or you could eat your hot dogs and your s'mores and stuff like that, and then
do it on the 8th
with your family, and then we could show that on the 8th.
I think we'll take that. Let's give ourselves a little break on Labor Day.
I'm going to be traveling back to Buffalo after that anyway.
Better reason to. Yeah, so we're going to be dark on Labor Day, and then on September 8th,
it'll give us some time to edit all the mistakes we make in 2014.
Yeah, you think there's mistakes here? In the studio? Wait till you see. You got to watch it live. No, we won't be doing that one. That's going to be one of the very few shows that we don't actually do live because of the limitations of being on location. Yes. Every time we try to do one live from location, it drops out. It's terrible.
So this is what the network people call live to tape.
Live to tape.
Although it's live to drive.
Live to drive.
Live to drive. We just created a whole new term.
I've never heard anybody say that before.
Live to drive.
Live to drive. We'll be live to drive, and hopefully you guys will enjoy what we have. We don't even know who we're going to have on that show. It's
who knows who's going
to
be there.
Whoever we can wrangle and
talk to. And yeah, we talk to the vendors and about the stuff they have.
Yeah.
And we answer audience questions because we're going to be in the big ballroom.
Oh, nice.
They're not throwing us in the vendor area.
We're not by the Coke machine?
No, we're not by the Coke machine. Cool. We don't have to go borrow chairs out of the lobby, to do this one. They're actually setting us up there. It'll be really nice. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to Voice 2014 and seeing some of you who will also be there and meeting all the new people because it's just great meeting everybody and being part of the gang. We got to thank our sponsors, of course. We thanked Harlan, but we'll thank him again. Voiceover Extra, even though we didn't run their spot this week.
No, we'll play it at the end.
Okay, we'll play it at the end. Good. Thank John Florian for continuously creating the buzz for us. We got to write an article for him. Our friends, of course, at your employer,
Edge Studios.
Let me get out of the E here so you can actually see the entire thing there. Edge Studios.
Edge has it's going to be pretty cool what they're announcing, but they have some pretty awesome new ways of producing demos as well as the whole education program. We're retooling a lot of stuff. And we have a new website that's been a humongous process to build. From the ground up.
If you've ever built a website, you know we're talking about.
And if you've been on our current website, you know how much stuff is on there. It's got a massive amount of information, and it's not the most organized thing in the world. So this new site's going to be much easier to navigate, and we're going to have it launched by Voice 2014. That's the goal that we set for ourselves. So we're pretty much nose to the grindstone right now, getting that ready.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Acknowledgements. First, we have to thank our wives, mine for calling in the middle of the show and then texting me.
And mine for letting Mr. Shingles in the house, which I wasn't sure if she was going to let him in the house.
I have a plague. It's not contagious unless you touch the open wounds. It's like Ebola, but I don't have open wounds, so it's not a big deal.
Yes.
It hurts a bit.
Thanks, Amy.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks, Amy. And of course, we have to thank Kathy Curtin, our wonderful producer, for getting us.
She's in Buffalo right now.
She's in Buffalo taking care of her mom right now. I'm here instead taking care of California. let's see. Anthony Gettig, of course, for the fabulous job he does in the chat room and collecting your questions and directing them to us.
Yeah.
And Jack DeGolia for the show notes.
Those
perfect way to
shots.
Follow the show if you're watching it recorded.
Uh-huh.
And Tim McKean, who's been working on eWeb's Essentials, and Lee Penny, who's just a good guy. Aside from working on the podcast.
And he puts the podcast up, which a lot of you guys listen to the show by podcast.
I think probably more listen to the podcast. You guys like hearing it in the car.
Yeah, if it's hard to find the time to watch the show online, which it is, can be hard to carve out an hour and 15, hour and 20. Download the podcast.
Yeah.
So if you're having any trouble with anything, I know that there's been issues with the podcast feed on our website. Let me know. If you search on iTunes for eWabs, you should find it there. In any podcatcher you use, I use PodKicker on my phone. If you type in eWabs, you should be able to find it on there.
If only I had time to listen to podcasts.
Well, you don't spend enough time in the car.
I don't. Well, in California, I spend a lot of time in the car.
You will. You will.
I've been listening to public radio over and over and over again.
Yeah, you're gonna be hearing that. You're gonna listen to a lot of.
I've been following the news while I've been driving up and down Ventura Boulevard and and learning all the highways and byways of Southern California. It's been a fun week in the valley.
Definitely.
And then I get to come across the mountain tonight. Now I figured it would take me an hour to get here.
It's all about traffic patterns.
It's all traffic patterns. I got from Sherman Oaks to your home here in Santa Monica in 20 minutes.
20 minutes. See?
I'm like, well, I'm a little early.
But there's no hurry. I mean, don't rush out of here, man. Because if you leave right now, you will be driving for an hour to get back.
Okay, then I'll wait. But I did get to see Ella doing her ballet in front of the house as I approached. So that was
the sun's nice. Still up, still nice.
Yes. So it's a nice evening here in Southern California. But it's always a pleasure to be with you to do this show.
I know August is great because we see each other. You're traveling here more often. We got Voice coming up, so we'll get to do another one in the same month.
Right. It's lots fun. Of fun. And it's fun way to actually fun. Watch how it gets put together from this end, because I know what I have to do at my end, which is turn on camera and talk. And you're doing all the work here. And I like your new keyboard, by the way. That is nice.
Shiny.
Yes.
Well, not shiny, but in a beige way.
Yeah, but it's that ergonomic keyboard. And
it's the same one I've been using for over 15 years. I just went and bought one on eBay because I couldn't find a new one I liked. And once you fall in love with something that's so ergonomic, it's hard to get away from it.
That's true. Well, it works well. And aside from the, you know, me distracting you, because I understand, you know, having somebody in the actual studio can be can actually be kind of distracting. And, you know, usually we're just like typing to each other and saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. This is a little bit different. So, you know, if we ever end up doing the show together all the time, we're going to have to totally rethink that.
It could happen.
It could.
Maybe you end up doing the audio and I end up doing the video switching or something.
Hey, now there's a concept.
We have the mixer on this side. And
hadn't thought about that. Alrighty. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight because I'm getting hungry because it's different time for me.
Yeah.
Usually 9 o'clock, it's like, I think I'll go watch TV for a while. But now it's like, you know, I haven't eaten since lunch.
Yeah.
Now I understand why it's like, man, I'm done. I gotta go eat.
Yeah,
you gotta go eat. Anyway, so that's going to do us for this week at East West Audio Body Shop, and totally in the West this week. I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we're always East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week, right here, same place, same time, same channel.
Sayonara.
Aloha.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
You know it's true. The best way to learn something, anything, is to completely live it, to breathe it, to experience it, to immerse yourself totally in it. Welcome to VoiceOver Immersion, only at Voice 2014. The VoiceOver International Creative Experience. The Voice Convention is 3 days of complete and total immersion in the craft and the business of voiceover. Voice is all about education, technology, and community. At the Voice Convention, you'll have an opportunity to meet and network with some of the top voiceover professionals and coaches from around the world. There are more than 30 programs and special events scheduled with coaches from the United States, Canada, Germany, the United Kingdom, Argentina, and more. Are you struggling with your auditions? Do you perhaps have some challenges with your equipment? Well, Voice is where you will get your questions answered. Every major niche of voiceover is covered. Audiobooks, promo, commercials, corporate narration, and a lot more. Ask anyone who's been to a Voice convention and they'll tell you it's a fire hose of information. It's a life-changing and a career-changing experience. There's no other voiceover event like it.
If you haven't been here, you need to come.
It has far exceeded my expectations.
I have learned so much from the presenters at this event.
Whether you're a working pro or just getting started, it doesn't matter. Because at Voice, you can get the tools you need to take your voiceover work not just to the next level, but to a level you've never dreamed of. The VoiceOver International Creative Experience. VoiceOver Immersion. only at Voice 2014, August 27th through the 30th in Anaheim, California. And please join us in welcoming our premier sponsor, Edge Studio. The VoiceOver International Creative Experience. So what are you waiting for? You know you want to be there. Register today at voice2014.com. Voice 2014, making your voiceover work better than ever.